Isaiah's introduction of Emmanuel. And as we think about the time coming up, getting ready to celebrate the coming of the birth of Christ and that celebration again, so many things can get in the way of truly worshiping our Lord's coming. And the word Emmanuel has that meaning with it, of God coming to be with mankind, to redeem mankind. You know, God has taught through His Word, through many different prophets, about future events and people, things that's going to be happening. We have a Bible that is full of prophecy, and in that prophecy, as we study the Word of God, we see that many of the events in the Old Testament, the prophecy of the Old Testament, many of those things have been fulfilled. They're actually history now. They're not coming events. And yet there are still many things in the Old Testament that have not been fulfilled as yet, that are yet to happen. What a blessing it is for us to be able to pick up God's Word and read, knowing that God is not done. You know, many of the things that God has shown us in prophecy in the Old Testament that has come to pass. And Christ's coming is a major one, a major event. In fact, the whole Bible focuses around this one person, the person of Christ, Emmanuel. One thing we must understand is that prophecy and history and future events, these things that are all that's going to happen, are going to happen perfectly together. What God's Word says is going to happen that way. It is man that gets things twisted around, gets ideas. God fulfills His Word. He's shown us that. He's proclaimed that. And Paul teaches this when he wrote to the Corinthians. In chapter 15, verse 3 and 4 of 1 Corinthians, it says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." In this, we see that Christ's coming was according to the Scriptures, and it would be exact. And Paul is proclaiming that here to the church at Corinth, that is how Christ would be. Again, at this time, it's history. Christ came. So Paul is writing, showing that prophecy was fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. So we find that every major event in this world will be according to the Scriptures. Every major thing that happens in our world, God already knows about. God's already planned for it. And it's happening. And many times when we're bogged in the middle of it, we don't see all of those things going on. And just like the people who are walking around when Jesus was walking around, many of them didn't see Him, didn't understand who He was, didn't know who He was. They had been taught to look for something else. Or they simply just did not accept Him. That didn't change the fact that He is God. That doesn't change the fact that He is Emmanuel. He is who He says He is. He will do it when He says He's going to do it. So it is then no surprise that the prophesied incarnation would also be according to Scriptures. We're going to look this morning at how Isaiah, the prophet, introduces Christ, Jesus. So to start with, in Isaiah chapter 7, we find that Isaiah proclaims a special birth. Now, Israel needed help, and God is their help. God is their guide. And as they then look to the prophets, the ones who were sent from God, even though the prophets brought them the message, does not mean they accepted the message, did not believe, always believed the message. In fact, some of the prophets were killed for bringing the Word of God. And as we look at Isaiah, the things that he teaches here the things that he prophesies here are hard to understand. How are we going to grasp something we don't understand? In verse 14 of Isaiah 7, it says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Now, when we look at all of this, it's like, this guy must be crazy. That does not happen. In man's eyes, it cannot happen. But as we know from history, and as we know from the Word of God, it did. It did happen. And it does happen when God is working out his plan. Now, we see the miracle of the virgin birth. That's vital. Our world teaches other things, but God's Word teaches the virgin birth. God's Word says that Mary is chosen by God. When we think about the season coming up and we see the nativity scenes and we see, the presentation of Joseph and Mary and the babe in the manger and all of the things, it causes us to think about, and it should cause us to think about, the Word of God. What does God's Word say? Because man, again, has changed things around. Man alters the Christmas story, the birth of Christ. Let's look at what it says in Luke chapter 1. Mary is chosen by God, and she knew she was a virgin. Okay, starting in verse 30 of Luke 1. "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. For behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" Mary knows who she is. Mary knows what she has done. And the Bible proclaims her here as a virgin. Now, in this passage, we see that the angel comes to her with a special proclamation from God, directly to her, and for us as well, because he's recorded it in his word. But directly, Mary is the one who will be dealing with this announcement. And as she questions it, how can it be? How could this be happening? We understand that we would all ask that question if it was happening to us. How could this possibly be? And the angel's response is that with God, nothing is impossible. So Mary's response then is, "Be it unto me, as thou hast said." God wants to use me in this way. Let it happen. And it did. We find Joseph is chosen by God as well. But Joseph took a little convincing, and rightly so. As they were espoused, they were engaged to be married, we find that Joseph gets some news that kind of troubles him. Look in chapter 1 of Matthew. Starting in verse 18, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. As his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, Fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save the people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, as did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. So we find Mary, we find Joseph here, we see Mary becoming pregnant with the baby Jesus. We find Joseph finding that out, thinking about what should I do in this situation according to the law, what was he able to do. The angel coming to him and telling him, don't worry about it. We'll take care of this. It's the way it's supposed to be. And we find Joseph accepting that as well, rising up, doing what he was supposed to do, becoming this husband and father figure. And he did as the angel directed him. So the virgin birth, we see a miracle. We see something that's never happened before and has not happened again. But we find many other miracles surrounding the birth as well. There was angelic announcements that came forth. Two of those I've mentioned already, to Mary and to Joseph individually, as the angels came to them. But we also see there is an announcement to the shepherds, which are up on the hillside, and the angel comes to them and announces the birth of Christ, announces the Emmanuel that was coming. Interesting, why the shepherds? There's lots of ideas on that, but shepherds are a picture of Jesus, and they're a picture of watching over, also a picture of the lambs being born in season, the Lamb of God being born in season. So we see the angelic announcements. We also see the timing of the taxing. The timing of the taxing that moved Mary and Joseph from Nazareth to Bethlehem could have happened any time. But it happened at the time Mary would be in Bethlehem to have the child who was prophesied to be born in Bethlehem. So God moved her and Joseph to Bethlehem for a temporary time so that prophecy again would be fulfilled, and it happened by the way of taxing. And when the taxing took place, they had to be there. What a time to have to travel that distance when you're full term. And then we find the arrival of the wise men. Matthew chapter 2, in the first two verses. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. The wise men who come from the east, however many there were, as they followed the star that was unique, we find that the star led them to Jerusalem and then to Bethlehem. And we find that they come into the house where Jesus was and bear him gifts and worship him in that place. So again, we see God leading the Gentile world to Christ as well. Emmanuel was sent directly to the nation of Israel, but God didn't stop with that, as brought in those from the east. So we see the arrival of the wise men as part of the miracles. But we see the miracle also of the incarnation of God becoming man. Now that's, in our way of thinking, is it's almost insane. Why would God do such a thing? And it's very simple when you study the Word of God, when you read the Word of God, when you understand who Jesus is, why he did it. He did the one thing for us that we could never do for ourselves, to be made right with God. So the miracle of the incarnation itself, God became man. There's several passages in the Bible that point to that. This one in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8 says this: "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." In that passage, we find the whole reason for Emmanuel. We find the whole reason why for the incarnation, the coming of God as a man, so that he might be in the form of a servant, he might become a man and pay for man's sins, and he did so by death on the cross. Colossians 2:9 says, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily," in Jesus Christ. In fact, the name Emmanuel means God with us. It is the announcement of the incarnation. "Thou shalt call his name Emmanuel," prophesied. God would be with man. We find that the names that are given to this child are very descriptive. The name Jesus means Jehovah is salvation. The name Christ and Messiah, one being Greek, one being Hebrew, means the anointed one. So we find God with us. Jehovah is salvation. We find that he is the anointed one, the one sent from God, God himself. So when we tie all these miracles together, it's amazing. This season, we overlook so much in the birth of Christ and what he has done. We need to remember who he is, what he has done. We also find that Isaiah foretells some of Jesus' names. Back in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." All of these titles and names will be given to this child who is born, this one who comes forth from the virgin. We know him today and call him by the name of Jesus Christ. When we look at these names individually, we think of his name being called Wonderful. When was the last time that we thought of the name of Jesus as something more different than the name of Jesus? When we thought of his name being called Wonderful, what does wonderful mean to us? It means full of wonder, extraordinary. Just, it's above and beyond. This is our God. He's wonderful. This is Jesus Christ. He is wonderful. His name shall be called Wonderful. Why? Just by the prophet? No, but by all of mankind. The Bible tells us in Revelation that every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. His name is above all names. His name is Wonderful. We find that he shall be called Counselor. I am so glad God is our counselor. Now, there's two ways of looking at needing a counselor. One is for our mental condition, and one is for our legal condition. And God is both of those. God takes care of us mentally, and God takes care of us according to the law. He is our counselor. Both of those are Jesus Christ. He takes care of us through that person. He is our counselor, and his counsel is with love and understanding. His counsel is perfect, and he can handle any problem that we have. Another name is the Mighty God. He shall be called the Mighty God. Now, again, we have to think back. Who is this talking about? This is talking about the child that will be born of this virgin. He shall be called the Mighty God. How is that possible? How is God able to do that? We don't have full understanding of that. We don't have full understanding of everything God knows. And we can't, because we are not God. But as the angel told Mary, all things are possible. With God, nothing shall be impossible. God is able. And Jesus said in Matthew 8:28, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power is upon him. And as you read both Old Testament and New Testament, the words of Jesus as well, he proclaims himself to be God. Many times that's why the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees picked up stones to stone him because of his proclamation of who he said he was. He's also called the Everlasting Father. Now, many times we attribute the name of the Father to the Father and not to the Son. But this shows how they are one. In fact, in John 8:58, Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. John 10:30, he says, I and my Father are one. John 14:9, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Wow. Jesus is telling us all through John here who he is, what he has done. And we find him as the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. We know that one day the world will be at a place of peace because of the Prince of Peace. Okay, the one who is our peace. And this title here given to him, John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. God's peace comes from God. He is our peace. But he also gives us peace with God. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The peace comes through Christ. The peace is Christ. And the peace of God, it talks about in Philippians 4:6, the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When we look at the peace of God, when we look at the peace from God, when we look at peace with God, it all ties us together with Jesus Christ. He is the peace and the Prince of Peace. So we find these names that are mentioned by Isaiah foretold of who he would be, so that those who were looking for the Messiah would recognize who he was when he came. And then we find Isaiah announcing the coming kingdom. The coming kingdom. We know from Scripture that Jesus is coming again. We know that the prophecy of the Messiah, that he would set up his kingdom. And Isaiah 9:7 points that out. It says, of the increase of his government, and this again is speaking of this one who would come, speaking of Jesus, Emmanuel, the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The kingdom of the Messiah. We think, wow, when is that going to happen? This is what the Jews were looking for. This is what the Jews were expecting to come. They were expecting the Messiah to come and set up his kingdom. We find that all the way through just prior to the crucifixion. They were wanting him. In fact, even the disciples were saying, when you set up your kingdom, can I sit on your right hand and on your left? Everybody was expecting him to set up his kingdom. But what he came for, the purpose of Emmanuel, was our salvation. so that we could be saved. But he's still coming as king. He's not done. And that's the thing we need to realize today. The coming of Christ has happened. The Messiah has come. Emmanuel, God with us, is with us because of Jesus Christ. So what do these verses mean then in Isaiah? Is this not prophecy? It is. This king that's coming is Jesus Christ. The Bible declares him as King of kings, Lord of lords. And his coming kingdom, he is king now. But if you look in this word, to establish it, to set it up, is yet in our future. So this prophecy that it's talking about here in Isaiah, part of it has happened. And part of it has not. That should get us a little excited. Because he has started the process, but he has not finished the process. In the space and time, this is where we find ourselves, between the coming and the time that he comes to again to set up his kingdom. The Bible talks about his government in this verse, the increase of his government. Now, when we think of government, our first instinct is not a pleasant one. It doesn't matter what government it is, because our current government and past governments all over the world have been corrupted by man. So we think, wow, government brings with it a terrible, controlling feeling. But when the Bible here talks about his government, what it says again, Isaiah 9:7, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. King, Jesus, forever. The king who knows your thoughts. The king who knows everything. Not like we are today, wondering, all of us wondering if that person is really going to represent us well. We don't wonder that with Jesus Christ. He is King. He has already represented us well. He stood for us. He's taken our place. What other king has given his life for you? His government and peace, there shall be no end. He will be called the name above all. It's amazing. Even with that, there will be rebels. As you study the Bible, even after he sets up his kingdom, there will be those who will turn against him. Wow. Perfect kingdom. Perfect setting. But you know, that's not that unusual. Adam did the same thing in the Garden of Eden. Perfect setting, perfect situation, perfect wife, perfect husband. And sin entered in. The Bible says that he will sit upon the throne of David. That has to do with ruling over the nation of Israel. The throne that was given to David is a picture of the throne of God. And God used that lineage of which Jesus was born in. In fact, the reasons that you find in Matthew and Luke, the lineage of coming from God to Jesus Christ is to show us that purpose. Because Because you will find that after you get to the end of that lineage, it doesn't go on. It stops at Jesus. There's a reason it stops at Jesus. Because the whole point was to point to Jesus. And from that course, and from that point, we have the New Testament, what he has done for us. But here he will sit upon the throne, again, yet to come. We see that it was announced to Mary by the angel in Luke 1:32 and 33, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Again, an everlasting kingdom. We talk about the kingdom of God. We talk about the everlasting life that we have. It's ongoing. But we must always remember there is a king involved. And that king doesn't just show up on the scene in our future. He is king now. He was born king of the Jews. In fact, when the wise men came from the east looking for this one, where is he that is born king of the Jews? He was their king. When he went to the cross, he was titled king of the Jews. And we see the other titles that was given to him as well. Today, we call upon the name of Jesus, Emmanuel, Christ. We find his kingdom will be one of justice because Jesus is the perfect judge. He can judge justly. And when you look in the book of Revelation, you'll see that there's only one worthy to open the books. The one who paid the price for us, Jesus Christ. His kingdom will be one of justice. So we find that Isaiah prophesied the virgin birth of a son named Emmanuel. And Jesus fulfilled this. Isaiah said, this is what's going to happen. And after some considerable time passed in man's eyes, it happened in Bethlehem, in the manger. He was born. He came. The announcement of the angels to the shepherds. This has happened. The Messiah has come. Jesus Christ is born. They were full of joy and excitement. They went about the countryside telling people what had happened, what they had seen. They had seen Jesus Christ right after he was born. Wow. What a privilege. It wasn't the current government or the religious leaders of the day that got to be part of that. But those who were listening to God. We find that Isaiah prophesied some of the names given to describe this king. And Jesus is these things. He is wonderful. He is counselor. He is the mighty God. He is the Prince of Peace. And Isaiah prophesied of the kingdom of Jesus. And it will be as he said, exactly. So God has introduced the world to Jesus through Isaiah. We have been introduced to the Messiah. Every time you see a nativity scene, every time you see the portrayal of the Word of God in this season, it should draw us to Jesus and what he came for, why he came. What do you think about this time of their year? What do you think about with the word Emmanuel? What do you think about when you hear the name Christmas. All of these things that are out here in this season, what is the reason for it? Jesus is the reason. He's the only reason. The gift that God gave to man, foretold by this prophet, Isaiah. What have you done with this introduction in your life? Have you been introduced to Jesus? Do you know him? Did you respond to him when you were introduced? Mary did. Joseph did. The shepherds did. The wise men. And later on, many others. But this isn't just a story. It's history. It isn't just something that happened to those people. It's something God has provided for us today, so that we might know him as wonderful and counselor and mighty God. That we might know him and understand him for who he is. That we might have that relationship with him. So we find today that we have great assurances that things will be done according to the scriptures. Because of the prophecy that we can read about and we can look into and we can see that has been fulfilled as the scripture has said, we have great comfort and joy today knowing that God's word is true. God's word is God's word. And we can rely on it, we can stand on it, we can live by it, and we can know what's coming simply by studying the word. Isaiah introduced the world to this Jesus that would be born, to this Emmanuel, God with us. There's only one. Only one. There's not many. There's one. His name is Jesus. And as we come to him as an individual, as we rely upon him, as we trust him, as we receive the gift that he provides for each person, salvation, free, totally paid for by himself, what do we do with it? We can receive it or we can reject it. But he provides that for us. In receiving it, your life will never be the same. In fact, you'll begin living because you'll, from that point on, have inherited eternal life. Contrary to that, not receiving him, you continue on the pathway you're already on to destruction and death. And we find that that is an everlasting death, an ongoing death. We have two choices. Jesus or not Jesus. To live or not to live. The Bible makes it so clear and so easy for us. And yet the flesh makes it challenging and difficult. As we think about this prophecy, as we think about this season ahead of us, make sure that Jesus is the reason that we celebrate. It's all about him. And he did it all for you. Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, as we come before you again this morning, we thank you once again for your word. We thank you for the prophecy that we have seen. We thank you for the fulfillment of that prophecy. We thank you, Lord, that Jesus has come and has paid the price for our sins. And as many as receive him, the Bible says, to them gave you power to become the sons of God, even to them that call upon his name. And Lord, I pray right now, you know everyone in this room. You know where we are spiritually. You know the struggles that we're having. You know problems that we have in our understanding, and you're the only one. You're the counselor. You're the one who can straighten those things out and get them correct. So, Lord, help each one of us to trust you and trust your word, that we might walk closer to you, that we might live closer to you, that the name of Jesus might be exalted more and more in our life. Lord, thank you for being here with us today, for working in this place. And Lord, may your name go forth and be exalted in each of our lives from this moment on. May we realize this season, this month, and celebrate what you have done for us. Celebrate Jesus Christ. Celebrate Emmanuel. Let the songs remind us of what you have done for us and who you are. And thank you for providing for us salvation, redemption, sanctification, justification, peace, love, all of the things that surround you. We praise you for those things. And Lord, I pray that you will work in our hearts even now, drawing us and strengthening us as we spend these moments with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So music plays. Spend these moments with the Lord and respond to him as he leads you. Trust him. Worship him.